And our state capitol report continues now as we welcome in Republican State Senator Dewey Strobel from Saukville. He was one of the four Republican holdouts on the state budget, which he later supported after getting veto assurances from Governor Scott Walker. We welcome your questions and reactions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Senator Strobel, good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. Well, you and your Senate colleagues, Chris Kapinga, Steve Nass, David Craig, were holding out last week after the Assembly passed the budget because you wanted some things changed. How do you feel about, tell us about the negotiations. What happened?
Sure. Well, I guess where I would start was that the joint finance process, really, I think it would be pretty hard to imagine that actually did follow the normal process. And I think because of that, I think we did get a little off track on a few things. And the only time, if you're not on JFC, to react to the budget is when it does come out of JFC. And of course, as we know, that was later than it should have been. And the frustrating part for me was that a lot of the things, actually all of the things I believe that we were advocating for in the 11th hour, were all things that were either in the governor's budget or were in the Senate version of the budget that we had put out previously, and so on. So there was nothing there that was new or from out in left field. These were things that I thought that were going to make the budget better, and that's what we wanted to do, make the budget better. And I think a lot of the things that we dealt with were some special interest items, quite frankly, that really had no business being in that budget. And I was happy in the end that the governor was able to make a number of vetoes that I believe really accomplished the things that we were hoping to accomplish with this budget before its final signature.
And we'll get into those vetoes that he assured you that he would make in just a moment. But Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who, by the way, will be joining us tomorrow morning during our 7 o'clock hour, said his caucus was done with the budget and would not be coming back this week. And he likened your wish list to a ransom note and didn't want to be held hostage. How do you feel about the way Speaker Voss handled the budget, especially in the downstretch?
Well, like I said, there was a lot of special interest things in the end that were involved that I thought shouldn't be. And as I also said, you know, here we were in September working on the budget that we should have really been doing this a couple months earlier. And quite frankly, I do believe that the Assembly ran out the clock on this thing and then in the very end said, oh my gosh, we got to get this done. We have no time for any further analysis of this budget. So really, we were actually kind of getting this thing jammed down our throats, quite frankly. And I didn't think that was good for the state of Wisconsin. I wanted reforms in there that I felt were going to be good for moving the state forward and that would be best for all the residents of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Not just, as I saw in some of these, for some special groups that happen to be rather popular for some people.
Well, what was the special interest influence?
I think the road builders had a huge special interest in the Assembly in terms of what they had put out. All summer, of course, well, the last year, quite frankly, we've been hearing how we do not have enough money in our transportation budget, how we have to raise taxes. Well, unfortunately, I saw that movie once before, and that was at the end of last session when we had a lot of good reforms for our transportation department that would have saved money and let the taxpayer dollars go further and be more efficient. And I was fought every step of the way on that. And then once that session ended, those very same people that were fighting me on those reforms were now the ones who were advocating for tax increases. And that just didn't make any sense to me. How come we can't fix things, yet you just want more money for transportation? And I come from the private sector, and my business would never survive if I went about things that way, utilizing taxpayer resources in such a frivolous manner. So I felt we have to make these reforms before we just write more money to the DOT. And some of these reforms were cut out of this budget that the Assembly passed to us that they said was non-negotiable. And my goal was to get these money-saving reforms in to make the taxpayer dollars more efficient. My goal was to get some of those back into this budget. I think we were able to do that.
Yeah, one of the items on your list was regarding the state's prevailing wage. It was set to go away, to be eliminated in September, but you wanted it gone immediately. So Governor Walker is going to make a partial veto to strike out the language about it being done in September of 2018. Why was that so important to you?
Well, as you know, we have prevailing wage is no longer in effect for all other work in the state of Wisconsin except for state work. And I'm hearing from the municipalities that I represent that they are seeing significant savings from this. Really, what it does is it allows everyone to bid on these jobs and not just a few certain hand-picked few. Right now, when we have these big Department of Transportation jobs, there's really only a few people who even have the ability to bid on these things. It's really a very small cabal of contractors who are participating. And that really is driving up our costs. And now that we will have a wider range of people and contractors who are able to bid on these jobs, that's going to be good for the taxpayer. That's going to make our transportation dollars go further. And again, when we're interested in saving money in transportation and our budget is tight, we have to make those types of reactions to the world out there. And again, roads get built by the private sector every day out there, and they are built according to a certain plans and specs, and then ultimately they are conveyed to the municipality that they're built in. Why do those roads need to be built with no prevailing wage, and that's all right, but whenever the taxpayer is directly paying, we have to have this elevated compensation rate that isn't justified in the marketplace. Yeah. It's just common sense to me.
We have just a minute before news break, but can you quickly tell us why did you want the governor to remove the money put aside to study tolling in Wisconsin?
Well, I guess I was somewhat ambivalent on that, but I also, again, I'm not interested in finding more ways for the DOT to get money, because if we don't fix the DOT first, they'll just keep needing more money. And the way I see it is you find as many efficiencies as you can, and you make sure you eliminate all the waste, and then let's see where we're at. Let's see if we really do need more money. Okay. And then if we do need more money, let's talk about the best way to do that. But again, with a government agency and so on, you need to find those efficiencies and before you say, here's more cash.
And news is next, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. The state budget was passed by the state Senate on Friday night and is now on its way to the governor. Governor Walker is expected to sign the budget this week. The budget may not have passed had Governor Walker not agreed to making some specific vetoes in the two-year document to appease some Republican senators who were withholding their support. We are talking with some of the vetoes the governor has agreed to make with one of the Republican holdouts. State Senator Dewey Strobel is with us. He is a Republican state senator from Saukville. We welcome your questions for him, your thoughts on the budget negotiation process, what you like or don't like about the state budget, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, we did just before news talk about one of your priorities, Senator Strobel, that being an immediate start to the elimination of the state's prevailing wage on state projects. You also were concerned about what were your other priorities that you wanted the governor to veto?
Well, another one was, and this is especially bothers me when politicians do this, the Fed-state swap is an issue where we can, the taxpayer and the DOT can save a lot of money if we structure our construction contracts a little differently. Real quick, if you have even $2,000 of federal money in any road project anywhere, it invokes a whole nother layer of bureaucracy and red tape and so on. If we remove that federal money and we concentrate it in the major projects and take that state money and put it in the other projects, our transportation dollars will go 25% further. And that's a win for everybody. But the language that was in the budget prior to the governor's veto did not effectively do that. It was toothless. So now that is another reform that we're going to be able to have to see that our transportation dollars go further. That was also something that was very important to the group who was pushing back on the budget as presented from the Assembly.
We have just a comment from Marilyn on Facebook who says that hybrid car owners will have to pay more for car registration. She said $150. I think that is not exactly right. She says this is so hybrids pay their fair share. Well, gas cars with better miles per gallon, minis and Fits, et cetera, will then not be paying their fair share. Talk some whether you think this was a good idea or not to hike the fees paid by owners of hybrid or electric vehicles.
Well, I never like to raise any taxes because, quite frankly, I think that makes government bigger, and government's too big right now. But I guess in the name of equity, it's reasonable to me because those vehicles are on the roads just the same, creating wear and tear, and they're not paying any road tax, whereas all the other vehicles that are, quite frankly, creating the same degree of wear and tear as electric vehicles are paying. So I really think it was something that should have been done that realizes the world we are coming into with different forms of power for our vehicles on our public highways and roads.
Yeah, so other assurances you received from Governor Walker on Friday that helped you support that state budget. School districts will only be able to hold referendums on regularly scheduled primary and general election days. What was the problem there?
Well, what you want when you have a referendum, you want the broadest representation of the public that you can get. That's the democratic process. We want people to participate. And I think the vast majority of our school districts do a very good job of that. Unfortunately, we have seen some school districts that it would appear, and it doesn't take a great imagination to have it appear that way, that the referendums were held on days and at times that were more difficult for the general public to come and register their opinion on that vote. Some might think that that was done that way in order to facilitate a certain result. And what we want is at the generally scheduled elections, that's when we get the greatest turnout. And when we get the greatest turnout is when we should put questions like this in front of the public. So that's really the only point that modification was trying to accomplish.
Another public school item involves removing the energy efficiency exemption to the school district revenue limit. Sounds complicated. Explain briefly what's going on here and why the state will be better off getting rid of that exemption.
Sure. Well, a couple things. First off, to have any other type of referendum, well, to have any other type of bonding, you need a referendum, as we just got through talking about. But for certain projects that were defined as energy-saving projects, and I use that term very loosely, the referendum requirement is not there. It's pushed aside. So there's no referendum required for projects for energy improvements. Now, these energy improvements sometimes could be new roofs or what have you, things that were very, very loosely defined as an energy improvement. And what this is going to do, it's going to allow, again, the public to weigh in to decide whether they want to take on debt to make improvements like these to their buildings. And what was in this budget that came out of the Assembly was a one-year moratorium, which, quite frankly, was worthless. It's one of those situations where politicians say, well, we're doing something, but in the end, they're really not doing it. They're just trying to, quite frankly, fool the public. So what we advocated for and were successful in was removing that one-year moratorium that this will go into effect relatively soon. And if there is going to be additional bonding by the school district, that is going to be approved by the voters in a referendum. Because one thing I'll just add, which you have to remember, is every time that a school exceeds the spending cap, we have a school funding formula, and shared revenue is paid out to our districts, as it should be, and that's our system. And that could be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar comes from the state taxpayer to go to an individual school district when they spend. Now, when expenses like this are incurred, then there's what's happening is if that school district gets a 50 cent per dollar shared revenue, then actually the locals, well, first off, they're not even voting for it, but basically the school district, without any input from anyone, is going into the pockets of every other taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin for 50 cents on the dollar for that improvement. When other school districts are able to make do with the money that they're getting for the school funding formula. So that is why we need to really be careful in terms of the equity with situations like this because of that dynamic.
You wanted eligibility for the statewide voucher school program to be expanded to 300% of the federal poverty limit, which is how it's set up in Racine and Milwaukee. The budget had it at 220%. Is that 300% going to happen or not?
No, that will not be happening. It was something we advocated for. The situation we have is, in my area, I have schools that participate in the Milwaukee School Choice Program, and I fully support school choice. And what you had is, say, a school in my district could have a student from Milwaukee whose parents had a median income of, say, 250% of the federal poverty level, and they could utilize a voucher to attend that school. Yet a child who would live right across the street from that school, because they weren't in the city of Milwaukee, their parents could have the exact same income, say 250% of federal poverty level, but that child from across the street could not attend that school on a voucher. And this was attempting to fix that inequity that is also out there right now. And weren't able to get that done, but we'll keep working on that.
Yeah, the UW system was planning on spending $4 million on cultural fluency training for faculty, staff, and students. Did you want that out, and is it out?
It's not out. A veto wasn't able to do that, but we wanted that out. That was dealing with the whole issue of white privilege classes and things along those lines. And where our group had a problem with it was that they be mandatory. These types of classes shouldn't be mandatory, and then if they are voluntary, which there's nothing to prevent these classes from being voluntarily enrolled in from our eyes, but if that's the case, then taxpayer funds shouldn't be involved. We hear the UW all the time saying we don't provide them enough money, and we'd rather have them stick to what their core job is, and we do not believe that classes that are dealing with white privilege and that type of politically correct issues aren't really their core function of the university.
Well, you also wanted local wheel taxes to be subject to referendums. Will that be the case?
That is going to be the case. That was successfully dealt with in the veto process. If a local municipality wants to have a wheel tax, they're certainly able to commence that process, and the most important part of that process will be a public referendum. If the public agrees with that wheel tax can happen. If the public says no to that wheel tax, the individual elected officials will not be able to mandate that on their voting public.
Lori in Vernon County is with us. Hi, Lori.
Hi, good morning. I'm really happy to hear that you're interested in expanding voter participation. I'm looking forward to future legislation, but I called about the mining bill, the non-metallic mining bill. Can you explain to me what's happening with that? I realize the Republicans are trying to take away more local control from municipalities to regulate mining.
I'm going to jump in because we're really not a lot on the mining. We're trying to deal with the state budget, which was just dealt with on Friday. But the local control is something that some critics say, Senator Strobel, that Republicans are taking away local control when you're supposed to be advocates for local control.
Well, I believe we are advocates for local control. And real quick, and I know we're not getting into it, but right now there is a state law against mines of the type that are being discussed. So to me, that is the ultimate state control. And actually what this law would do would allow, would take away that moratorium on the yeah. state control. But getting into that, I guess the time when I think sometimes people on the other side of the aisle say that we're hurting local control is when, the way I see it, is when state dollars are going into things that are of local interest and of local control. And that is, I think, where we have to be more mindful of how those dollars are being spent. And if it's all local money, then local control, I get it. But oftentimes it's crossed that line where we're actually taking money from some of our residents and spending it on other residents, and there's really no oversight going on with that in terms of the state, who is actually really the one collecting that money and then dispensing it in different ways. So
I wish we had more time, but we don't. Are you going to be introducing the items you didn't get in the negotiations as standalone legislation?
I think some of these definitely, Joy, will be advancing in the future. And before we're done here, I just want to congratulate you. I understand that you are going to be retiring in a short period of time, and it's always been a great pleasure to talk to you, and I think you've done a fine job representing both sides of the issues, and I wish you best in your days after retirement.
Thank you so much. That's very kind, and thank you for agreeing to come on and talk with our listeners about state issues. State Senator Dewey Strobel. This is the Ideas Network.